Senior Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter of this edition of Senior Focus. And Senior Focus, as you know, is all about getting seniors' voices heard. We've just had the Tech Expo in Auckland on the North Shore over the weekend, and 1,500 seniors came pouring in the doors. And the sponsors and exhibitors were quite delighted, actually, at the, not only the turnout, but how much time people spent. On average, about a couple of hours minimum. So that's pretty impressive. We, of course, had those of us on duty on the day, had a lot of interaction with the seniors who came. And on the stall in particular, we had half a dozen very keen supporters of Senior Focus who are regular listeners and who contribute ideas to the program. And so they were presenting their information and their values and their talk about what the program stands for, having a whale of a time, and very popular with the people that were coming past. Some people, of course, no longer listen to radio. It's something they did years ago and when they were younger, and they don't think about it. But a lot of people didn't know about the program at all, so they were introduced to it. And a lot of people were very surprised at what was being tackled, how many topics and the range of things and the sort of people that were involved. So there was a lot of learning took place, and it was in both directions. We discovered that we could save trees and money, because we didn't have a lot of that. We didn't have a lot of sponsorship, so finding money for printing flyers and things was difficult. What we did was cut up one of the flyers and we stuck it with a Velcro dot to the tablecloth, so we were able to make sure that that last flyer didn't walk. And we encouraged people to photograph it with their smartphones. And this worked a treat, because people enjoyed actually lining up to take the photo. And, of course, then they had all the information they needed in their phone. How to find the radio station, 104.6, as I've always referred to it as. But I learnt that it might be easier to say 10.4.6, because then it's similar to the police 1005 number, and it's easy to remember. So that's something to keep in mind. But as well as that, there were instructions on how to find it on your phone, putting Senior Focus Auckland into Google, for example, or doing the same if you're on your computer and getting the website, or going direct to www.planetaudio.org.nz/programs, and then go for the S for Senior Focus. However you find us, we are accessible, and that was a message we got out very clearly. The other thing that we got out was just the discussion about the advocacy work that we do and the range of topics we cover. Everything from age-friendly policies and practices to how to enrich your life, how to have more choice, how to reduce conflict and social isolation and loneliness, and what do other local boards and the council deliberating about. How do seniors' views get heard in that context, and what's good for seniors that might be considered that hasn't been thought about? With MPs, for example, opening their minds to the idea that all of us are not going to retirement villages. In fact, well over 80% of the population has no intention of going to a retirement village. So that people actually have to start thinking about planning ahead. In particular, the rapidly growing ageing population, just how many of us will be over 65 in 2030. And certainly the latest statistics predict 1.3 million New Zealanders will be over 65 in 2040. So these figures are quite arresting. They really stop people in their tracks. We also cover things about the environment, species protection, tree cover, pest control, and weed control, air and water quality. And these things we don't do every week, but we do bring in people who are experts, who are working with volunteer groups, because a lot of the work is done by volunteer groups. It's very expensive to keep on top of it, and council doesn't have a budget that stretches to pay people to do this work, so they rely on volunteers, and they just provide sausage sizzles and things for the groups that do the work. So just getting information out there about how these things happen and how you can help that process is all part of what we do. And we also try to present research and evidence about what is actually happening, what can we improve, and how can we improve it. And two pieces of research have come out this week that I want to share with you today. One is the research on the program Pause, Breathe, Smile, which is a mindfulness program that was introduced during the tail end of COVID, when the high levels of anxiety in the school pupils and students was being noted. Lots of students were away from school anyway because of lockdowns, but then after lockdown, when things got back into gear, these high levels of anxiety didn't drop. And I guess really the students were reflecting the anxiety of the adults around them. There was a lot of fear in the COVID days. There was a lot of fear about just what was going to happen next. People hadn't lived through something like this, except perhaps those who were familiar with the war years. But certainly of my generation anyway, there was not the awareness. And as a result, it was decided amongst a group of health professionals that it would be good to introduce a mindfulness-type program into schools. So when it was proposed that this be taught, it was designed, it would be easy for the teachers, it would be friendly for the teachers, they would benefit from it, and it would be something simple and quick that was slipped into the program, not something that took hours to master. And at the same time, it would be researched. Now, 3 years on, there is a body of research. And year by year, the statistics and the data are collected and reflected on. And so this year, the data coming in shows that there was 13% of the students increasing in positive behaviours, and they were flourishing. Their well-being had increased. And this word flourishing is actually defined in the research, and it's, you know, there are a number of factors and a number of examples of behaviours and things that constitutes flourishing. I'm not going to go into all of that, but just to say that 13% increase in the students who've done the program actually flourishing in their day-to-day behaviours in the school, also contrasting with 10% decrease in those that were languishing. Again, languishing was defined in the research. And I'm not going to go into the definition, but there was both positive outcomes from the point of view of what was increasing and the flourishing of certain positive behaviours, and also what was decreasing in negative behaviours that would cause them to be withdrawn or not performing and so on. As well, more students were self-motivated. They were able to be looking ahead, setting goals, being focused, being more supportive of other students. And all these positive outcomes were noted and recorded. The teachers themselves were more satisfied. They were enjoying their work more, following, introducing this and seeing the benefits in the students. So practicing mindfulness became something that people had as a resource, both the teachers and the students. And instead of reacting to situations and to people who rub them up the wrong way and so on, they could just mentally take two steps back, pause, breathe, and they could smile. And I have talked on the program before about the benefits of smiling. When people smile, there is an automatic lighting up of the person they're smiling at. The other party almost invariably smiles back. I certainly find this when I'm travelling out and about and on buses and so on. I often smile at the driver, even if he looks grumpy. And usually I get some sort of positive response. It may be a nod, it may be a small, slight smile, but something changes. And that's the beauty of this, that it's not just all about yourself, it's about benefiting the people around you. I also would note that Southern Cross, the health insurer, is behind the funding of the research, because research doesn't get done for free, and it needs to be funded in some way, tangibly, to be able to keep going. So it's very good that they've made this commitment. And there is a body of data being built up so that people will be able to analyse which kind of environments have worked best for the students, which types of schools have been able to get involved and get behind this program and have the best results. And there'll be all sorts of learnings over time. And the more data you have, the richer the data, the clearer the picture, and the more strength of evidence that builds, then the more commitment people make to having this program in their school. So at the moment, there's about 250 odd schools have signed on and become regular participants in the program. But it's growing, and so it's not static. So more and more schools are joining in. Of course, in a simple way, we could all practice this. We could all pause. We could all focus on our breathing, and we could all smile. And we don't need actually to be in a program to do this. We could just adopt it. And so I invite you to do that. The other piece of research that I want to talk about today is the research that Age Concern have announced this week, where their CE was on the breakfast program, talking about the UK's response to the rapidly growing ageing population, where a large proportion of seniors are lonely, genuinely lonely, painfully lonely, where there's an ache in the heart because they don't have anybody significant who cares about them, around them. And the UK government has set up a ministry to deal with this, and they have a Minister of Loneliness. And so this was the topic of conversation that Kevin Lamb, the Chief Executive of Age Concern, had on the breakfast show. I didn't see it, but I was able to see the research summary sent out in an email today and look through it and appreciate that for New Zealand, 30% of those over 65 report a significant concern over being lonely. there are some who are over 80 who are painfully lonely, who have extreme loneliness. And that's a subgroup of that bigger group. But I immediately thought, now there's a comparable figure for young people. And I have seen research done on those 15 to 25. And in that age group, 11% report being lonely. A different piece of research, but it is a benchmark nonetheless. Of course, across the whole of New Zealand society, there are surveys done, and I think the figure for loneliness is somewhere between 5 and 8% in general terms, if it's all averaged out and everybody's in together in the mix. But what it does show us is that we have got two groups in society who have the highest ratings for loneliness: our elders and our young people 15 to 25. And I've often said that intergenerational activities, opportunities for young and old to mix together, to laugh together, to sit alongside each other and learn to empathise with each other, that this can be a very valuable exercise. Probably needs to be structured because it doesn't happen spontaneously very often in society, apart from when a young person has a grandparent relationship with another adult. But outside of that, there's not many opportunities for intergenerational dialogue. But if there's structured situations created and opportunities then made for young people to share with older people and vice versa, then they become pleasantly amazed at what they have in common, how much they have in common. And when they really start to reveal some of their biggest challenges, they're even more amazed at the fact that sometimes they're on exactly the same page. If that page is loneliness, the heartache, the blackness, the feeling of nobody to reach out to, that nobody's there, that they have to talk to four walls, it's exactly the same, actually. The emotional experience is very comparable. It's not different. So I'd just like you to think about that research, think about those numbers, and whatever situation you're in, if you have an opportunity to strike up a conversation with someone who's much older than you or much younger than you, take that opportunity, especially if it's around Christmas time, because it's around Christmas time that loneliness hits people in unexpected and most challenging ways. You might think you're gaily going along to a Christmas party or going to a wind-up function to farewell somebody, and suddenly you're caught off guard because you're missing somebody really significant. All sorts of things crop up in our lives that give us poignant memories, but somehow they surface at Christmas more than at other times of the year. So one of the ways of helping ourselves through this is to actually make it our business to listen to somebody else. Actually put on a listening hat and actually have a goal of actually listening and really getting alongside somebody else. parking our own things for a change and just being there, having a heart of kindness. Today that I'm making this program on is not, of course, the day you're listening on. So the day I'm making this program is the 13th of November, and it's World Kindness Day. And so I was reminded about this, just the fact that if we were able to just extend kindness, even listen to one more person in our interaction, when we go to a Christmas event, when we go to a wind-up do, when we go to end-of-year functions, when we have to be present somewhere where we've got mixed feelings. Just take that role along of being the active listener, the person who extends themselves just a little bit further. And you might be utterly amazed at what stories people have, what they open up and tell you. You won't be bored, I can assure you. And not only that, the time will pass quickly and you will think, why don't I do this more often? So that's my challenge to you, to actually turn situations around by being an active listener, extending kindness and putting on your listening hat and just finding ways to engage with the other person. Sometimes listening involves just sitting in the silence for a bit. It may involve encouraging people by asking the odd question and pausing. Or it may be by sharing some information that you can help them open up. It's amazing how these things can happen spontaneously and naturally without being forced and without a person feeling that anybody's disturbing them or interrupting their peace. It can be done in a generous way, in a soft way, in a kind way. So having shared the research with you, I'm really curious now about what 2025 might bring in terms of what active programs, what active changes for seniors might be in the pipeline, might be able to be led by members of the senior community, because I'm sure the CEO of Age Concern has put that challenge out to the nation that we as a society need to look very carefully at the numbers of lonely people, particularly the numbers of lonely elders, and the fact that there's so little actively being initiated to address this. There's very little funding, there's very little research, and there's very little commitment to do anything about it, basically. So I know that Age Concern have a visitor service and people can volunteer to be a visitor and go into someone's home regularly once a week, say, for a couple of hours and chat and maybe play Scrabble with them or read from a book or just take them out shopping. There's all manner of ways in which the visitor service helps people. But it's essentially about relationship building and listening and being there and putting that listening hat on. If you're motivated to offer service like that, contact CAB, Citizens Advice Bureau, and find out how to get hold of the Age Concern folk and join their visitor service. Or you can look into belonging to an active group that does advocacy in the community, like Grey Power. And again, the CAB has the contact details. And I say that because depending where you are, there are different groups operating, so it's really helpful to go to the Citizens Advice Bureau at your local library and just find out what's there and how you can become involved. But certainly volunteering brings a lot of positives into your life, and people who volunteer have better statistics for health and well-being, both physical and mental, over the span of their life. So it's, if you want to improve things for yourself, this is actually one way of doing it. And then, on the other hand, if you want to support Senior Focus, as some people are doing, we will be communicating more with our members. So we are building a database, and we're encouraging people to email us. So I'll give you the email. It's all lowercase, senior, S-E-N-I-O-R, focus, F-O-C-U-S, and it's 104.6 FM, @gmail.com, and again it's all lowercase. So that's on our documents and places, and you will find that we will reply to you, and we're very happy to hear from our listeners and find out what you want on programs and find out what you'd be interested in us working on for next year. So we are really keen to hear from you, and in the meantime we've got some very interesting people coming up that we're interviewing. And we have Sally Hughes from the Character Coalition coming on board before Christmas. And also we've got the Resonate Hearing people. And we will have Pratima Soma back in the studio. So keep listening. And we look forward to having you with us next week. Together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 PM on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word. If you're